Welcome back. We begin this episode with a quote from the Muslim storyteller Noor Taghori. I hope I pronounced that right. Quote, "To me, finding my faith right now where I'm at is putting all of my trust in something bigger than myself and living for something bigger than myself and trying to do that through service." End quote. Years ago, I was having a discussion about spiritual matters with a work associate who's also a very dear friend. At one point, he asked me, "Why is God being so coy? Why didn't he just show up on my doorstep and let me know that he's there?" That's actually a great question. Why do we even need to have a podcast on the existence of God? If there is a God, and if that God loves us perfectly, as we hope, why doesn't he simply reveal himself to us, as my friend suggested? Why, as we've determined, isn't there absolute proof that there is or isn't a God? This episode is meant to answer those questions and to serve as a bridge from the outward manifestations or proofs of God we've been exploring to finding God spiritually, which you'll discover is every bit as real as what we've considered to be tangible evidence. This part might seem a little backward at first because I'm going to speak with an assumption of God's reality and our relationship to Him. It will help clarify why we need to seek Him out and the importance and role of faith. We'll explore the reasons why God wants us to learn to live by faith, why it's a critical part of our eternal growth and development. First, we need to understand some basics of what is called the plan of salvation, or the great plan of happiness. These details are referenced throughout the Bible and have been expanded on through modern revelation from God to His prophets of this dispensation. But you won't need to take their word for it. You can find out for yourself that it's true. The same methods you'll use to learn that God is indeed real and exists are the same you can use to determine other eternal principles. We'll discuss that later. First, it's important to understand our origin. We are all spirit children of God, our Father in heaven. Now just think of that for a moment. God is your Father. He knows you perfectly. And just as Christ called Him Father, and in a tender, powerful moment of suffering on the cross, very intimately called Him the equivalent of Daddy, it is that personal of a relationship. We know from Revelation that we all live together with our Father in a premortal life and wanted to become like Him. To do that, we needed to come to this earth, take on a physical body with all of its challenges, appetites, sickness and weakness, as well as blessings of potential growth. We knew that we would be tested through adversity, sometimes tremendous adversity, yet we shouted with joy when the world was created, and we knew we'd each have the opportunity to live in this mortal realm. Now, think for a moment, and it helps me personally to put things in simple terms like this, so bear with, I hope it works for you. Think of what it would do for your own growth and development if you decided to live with your parents your entire life. Now, unless there were a specific reason for doing so, a physical or mental challenge, there's a point where you need to leave the nest and go out on your own in order to really grow, to earn money and make a living, to create your own home, possibly to raise your own family, to learn to deal with the world at large. If you didn't do that, your growth would be stunted, and you would very likely not reach your potential. The same is true with God. If we retained a perfect knowledge of our relationship with Him, including our experience with Him in our premortal life, it would greatly impact how we lived on this earth. We wouldn't grow as we should. So God put on our minds a veil of sorts. He removed, for this period of earthly time, the memory of our life with Him, requiring us to live by faith. It's important to note that He didn't leave us alone. God has given us tools and abilities we can use to find Him to get through this life most productively and that we can leverage to progress, one of which is faith. Being raised in the Church of Jesus Christ, I'd heard many times the importance of exercising faith, but when it came right down to it, I did not understand what that meant. I remember coming across one definition of faith in the Bible that said that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I don't know what that does for you, but for me, it frankly wasn't much help. I was still confused as to what this stuff called faith is that I was supposed to have. Then a wise Sunday school teacher shared a simple example. He asked us to think about learning to walk. A baby that has reached the age when she's physically able to walk doesn't know that she can. She sees people doing this interesting thing with their legs and wants to do the same thing. She begins with help and encouragement from parents to try to take some steps. And, of course, she falls. In fact, she falls again and again. She has no direct knowledge that she will be able to do this remarkable thing, but she exercises hope that she can and continues to attempt to take steps until she's walking on her own. In its simplest form, that's faith. It's acting on something we hope is true that we don't know for sure, but that is also based on a true principle. In this case, that truth is that people can walk. Most of us went through that same process learning how to walk. Years later, we wake up in the morning and without thinking, we swing our legs out of bed and stand up. We're to a point where we are walking by knowledge, not faith. Years of using our legs, walking, running, jumping, has given us the surety, the knowledge that they will hold us up. But that had to start with faith, acting on something that we didn't know for sure at that time. Now, let's acknowledge that there's a key difference between this analogy of learning to walk and faith in God, and that is that sooner or later our legs might give out, and there are some who might never have had the opportunity to walk. We might, through disease or an accident or simply old age, have legs that won't work anymore. But, unlike our mortal bodies subject to imperfections, God does not and will not fail us. In that we can have or learn to have faith. Now, with that simple foundation, let's go deeper. If there is a God, an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present being, who certainly has the ability to clearly and openly reveal himself to each of us, why hasn't he done so? Why might it be important for us to learn to live by faith? Understanding our relationship to God, being created by Him and coming to this earth to grow and progress, we can now shed light on the role and importance of faith. The prophet Joseph Smith called faith the first principle in revealed religion and the foundation of all righteousness. He went on to explain the significance of faith in seeking spiritual knowledge, or for that matter, in any pursuit, including learning how to walk. Quote, "If men were duly to consider themselves and turn their thoughts and reflections to the operations of their own minds, they would readily discover that it is faith and faith only which is the moving cause of all action in them, that without it both mind and body would be in a state of inactivity, and all their exertions would cease, both physical and mental." He continues, "Are you not dependent on your faith or belief for the acquisition of all knowledge, wisdom, and intelligence? Would you exert yourselves to obtain wisdom and intelligence unless you did believe that you could obtain them? Would you have ever sown if you had not believed that you would reap? Would you have ever planted if you had not believed that you would gather? Would you have ever asked unless you'd believed that you would receive? Would you have ever sought unless you'd believed that you would have found? Or would you have ever knocked unless you had believed that it would have been opened unto you? In a word, is there anything that you would have done, either physical or mental, if you had not previously believed? Turn your thoughts on your own minds and see if faith is not the moving cause of all action in yourselves, and if the moving cause in you, is it not in all other intelligent beings?" End quote. So we start now to get a glimpse of the importance of this stuff called faith and why God wants us to develop it. But it's even stronger than that, continuing to quote Joseph Smith, "But faith is not only the principle of action, but of power also in all intelligent beings, whether in heaven or on earth. Thus says the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews." He quotes, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." End quote. Joseph continues, "By this we understand that the principle of power which existed in the bosom of God, by which the worlds were framed, was faith, and that it is by reason of this principle of power existing in the deity that all created things exist, so that all things in heaven, on earth, or under the earth exist by reason of faith as it existed in God. End quote. Now, according to that, faith is a godly attribute and is the power through which the world was made. It is a spiritual trait that we can each learn to exercise for our own progression in this life and in the eternities. Think of how many times in the scriptures we're commanded or invited to have faith. We're told that if we have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, we can move mountains. Christ in the New Testament didn't say, "Don't try this at home," but said that his disciples would do even greater things than he had done. When Peter saw Christ walking on water and asked if he could join him, Christ beckoned him. And when Peter's faith began to falter and he started to sink, Christ didn't say, "I knew you couldn't do it. Get back in that boat." Instead, he lifted him and helped him achieve what seemed to be the impossible, walking on water. We are told in Hebrews 11 that prophets through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, turned to flight enemy armies, and that women received their dead raised to life again. Faith is a power that God doesn't reserve for himself, but wants his children to righteously develop and strengthen. Christ, of course, was the perfect exemplar when, during his greatest trial, he obediently and by faith said, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." In addition to developing Christ-like traits, there's another important reason we're on this earth learning to live by faith. It is helping, almost forcing us to learn about ourselves at a very real, deep level. I once heard Truman Madsen say the following: God knew that Abraham would sacrifice Isaac, but Abraham had to learn something about Abraham. Think about what we learn about ourselves living in faith. I suspect that when we lived with our Father in heaven, we believed that when we came down to this earth, we'd all live practically perfect lives, that we'd be obedient to everything he asked of us. I personally am just proud enough, and was probably ignorant enough, that I can almost hear myself saying, "I know that you say I'm going to fall and make mistakes as a human, but I just love you too much, Father. I'm going to surprise you and do everything you ask of me." And I'm sure he just smiled and lovingly said, "Yeah, good luck with that." Fortunately, he knowingly provided a Savior who would help us through those many moments of weakness. By the way, that will be one of my favorite episodes together, developing a personal relationship with Christ. But back to faith. Faith, then, is something that moves us forward. It is a righteous use of power that can literally bring about miracles, and it is something that helps us learn about ourselves right to our core, how we behave when we're not directly in God's presence. Because of the importance of our learning to have faith, God's reality isn't allowed to be proven by typical scientific measures. As frustrating as that seems, it actually is a gift from God that we're allowed to develop that eternally significant attribute of faith. The good news is that if we demonstrate faith by following those intangible but real feelings that point us in God's direction, the day will come when we will know him. I continue to find that true in my own life, and it can extend that same assurance to you as well. Now, there are other reasons why we're asked to live by faith that we'll explore later, but that should lay enough of a foundation to move forward with the spiritual evidence of God's existence. Faith is important enough, critical enough for our development, that God doesn't simply and easily reveal himself to us. We have to work for it. And then manifestations come that let us know of God's reality. That's where we begin our next episode, Finding God Spiritually. One more quick thought before we close this segment. As you seek the truth about God's existence, you might not consider yourself a particularly faithful person, but realize that by actively searching for God, and by at least hoping to find an answer, you are exercising faith. As you read, ponder, study, even pray to this being that you're not yet sure exists, you're demonstrating faith. Now, acknowledging your own faith will help develop a confidence that you're on the right track, and your search will take on even more hope and meaning. With our next episode, we begin the spiritual process of finding God. Thank you for listening.